now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Cheer up, Illinois basketball fans. 2 days after an ugly loss at Marquette, Brad Underwood wins a recruitment over Tom Izzo for likely the number one prospect in state right now in the class of 2022. Now that he's transferred in to fill a need for a big-bodied, tough wing who just seems to ooze everything Brad Underwood likes. It's Jeremy Warner, Derek Piper, emergency podcast time. Piper knew this one was coming down the pipe, I should say, but it's great for Illinois to see this. Ty Rogers commits at the time of taping this at 12:30 on Wednesday here, November 17th. Haven't seen that he signed. We've seen that Thornton, his high school, said he will, but we'll wait a word from Illinois to make that official. But Derek Piper, big get. Initial thoughts.
Absolutely massive get for Illinois. Big credit to Tim Anderson, who here recently, really this fall, is making his impact felt on this staff, getting Merez Johnson out of Mean Streets and to tap even into the current class where you have a very promising player out of that Mean Streets program in Ty Rogers. And we mentioned it after the Friday game against Arkansas State. He was in the building for that with Ty Streets. And the talk this summer was, you know, Brad absolutely loved him. And as we'll break into, like, just kind of his toughness, his versatility, his two-way impact. But it's like, well, I mean, he's a Michigan player who's wanted by Michigan and Michigan State. And usually that is tough to make happen. And Illinois didn't have the Tim Anderson connection throughout the summer, obviously. He was able to do some things behind the scenes, but it was just thought to be one where it'd be really tough to tap into that one and rally it, you know, at the right time. But they were able to get him on campus for an official in September. He then went to Michigan State, Memphis, Alabama, some heavy hitters there, unofficial to East Lansing, and then came back to Champaign. And ultimately, just a great fit. I think that Illinois' style of play, what they value in toughness and playing defense, playing fast. He's a guy that is very skilled offensively. I know his jump shot in terms of the three can get a little bit better, but he can put the ball on the floor. And for a bigger physical wing, that's something that they definitely have coveted and have wanted. And when you have talented guards coming in and Epps and Harris, he just complements those guys really, really well. And I think that the way that Illinois is winning, obviously, is something that is playing in their advantage, because you don't walk into Michigan and see a player that's of Big Ten caliber and he's going to go to the Big Ten, and usually it's those two programs. That doesn't happen, going in there and stealing those. So that's a big statement for Underwood, big statement for Tim Anderson, and a guy that just has a ton to like about his game and vaults Illinois back into that top 20 range nationally, top five of the Big Ten. And if this holds in terms of him signing, in terms of staying in that top 25 caliber range, that would give Underwood four top 25 classes in the last 5 years, which is, that's how you sustain a program. That's how you make a statement that, hey, we're not only here at the top of the Big Ten now, but we're probably here to stay.
In the one class that was not, Derek, that wasn't a top 25 nationally, top five Big Ten, had Kofi Coburn in it. So I think we can look back on that one and say, yeah, that was a top 25 class with just that one guy. You're right. I mean, sustaining a program, and I think it says a lot, you beat Tom Izzo head-to-head, because what makes his program so good is year after year, they're in the mix atop the Big Ten. They don't win the Big Ten every year. They don't go to the Final Four every year. And most times they go to the Final Four, it's kind of this year you don't expect them to. Like last year, we expected Illinois to do that. Maybe this year some people do, despite the loss to Marquette. But you get as many bites at the apple as possible. That sustained success. That's what Lon Kruger and Bill Self and the early years of Bruce Weber, you had. And you had one big run out of that, those couple years, one Elite Eight run, one Final Four run, national championship runner up. Like, that's how you have those late runs, because you get enough bites at the apple where you have a really, really good team. And Ty Rogers, you mentioned, I think he compliments Jaden Epps really well. He compliments Sincere Harris really well, two guards in the backcourt. I think he also compliments Luke Goody and RJ Melendez. offense really well, right? Like, you have Luke Goody, who's kind of this skilled, high IQ player. He's got some toughness to him, too. But then RJ Melendez, who's kind of this athletic, skilled, versatile forward, who I think eventually can be a really high ceiling player. But how do you think all of those pieces fit together? Because that's going to be your wings, right, in a year or two.
Yeah, I certainly agree. Complimenting those guys that you have, the wings that you mentioned. Rodgers is just a dog. Like, he's very physical, very tough, hard-nosed, and wants to defend. And maybe Goody's not going to ultimately be a lockdown defender. Maybe he's better defensively than what maybe we anticipated. But those guys, Goody in particular, knockdown shooter. So ability to stretch the floor. Melendez is thought to be someone that's going to be a decent three-point shooter. Obviously a very good long athlete who needs to fill out a little bit. And Rodgers is going to come in and be someone that can take it off the dribble, go to the basket, just do a lot of the dirty work that I know that Luke Goody's showing he's willing to do here early on, which is great. And I think that also you could factor Coleman Hawkins into the mix as well. I think that Rodgers and Hawkins pairing together is something to be really excited about, just on two versatile forwards with a lot of length. And I mean, it wasn't that long ago we were sitting and talking about roster construction and what Illinois is missing. It's like length and athleticism, particularly kind of that 3-4 mold. And Hawkins obviously has shown, like, energy guy, willing to do some things defensively that have been exciting. And if you could play Rodgers at the 3 and Hawkins at the 4, and I know you got to see who's going to fill the 5 ultimately when Kofi's gone, but what you have at guard, and then obviously Goody factoring in there, lots to be excited about. Yeah, I think he fits really, really well.
I mean, I think you and I in the last podcast we talked about him said, like, Damonte Williams 4 inches taller. Like, now Damonte's turned into, at least last year, a dead-eye shooter. Ty's got a ways to go there. But what do you think can be his impact right away, Derek? Because I know, you know, true freshman and coming into a program that's kind of established, but Illinois will lose a lot next year with Damonte on his way out, Trent Frazier. We expect Kofi Coburn. We'll see about Andre Curbelo. But Jacob Grandison could be a guy that is he going to use another year of eligibility? There's obviously Melendez and Goody there, but how much do you think Rodgers will play into the mix right away as a true freshman?
Yeah, initial thought would be he comes in and plays quite a bit. I think that, like you said, with Grandison making the decision, that'd be a guy that's 24 going on 25 and a lot of experience, and he does play that 3-4. So he'd be someone that you'd have to probably slot in behind, and Goody's going to develop, and he's going to be in the mix for sure at the very, very least. And we even talked about it on the pod last week that they do want to be in the mix for a guard probably in the transfer portal, probably essentially if you don't get Grandison back, or just kind of that Damonte mold. But Rodgers definitely fills that. I think that because he's more physically ready right away, because he's going to be someone that can handle the physicality of the Big Ten just by the way that he's built right now, I think that he translates right away to what you need physically. And I think that just kind of, I mean, Brad said it last week that I judge freshmen and their ability to play early on defense, and the fact that Ty is considered one of the better two-way players in this class is something that he's going to definitely want. He's going to look at it and say, okay, I trust him to go out there and make an impact. He's going to have the length and have the athleticism. So I think at the very least, a piece off the bench is in the rotation. And if you do have a situation where Grandison doesn't come back, maybe he pushes Luke Goody, and that's a run for kind of that spot on the wing.
Tim Anderson's a popular name in Chicago circles in more ways than one. I don't know if Illini fans are doing bat flips. I think you wrote that, Derek, so I want to give you credit for that after this. But, I mean, kudos to Brad Underwood, because his Chicago guys that he hires, I know he, you know, Ching Coleman recruited more in Chicago, and Tim Anderson's certainly going to recruit more in Chicago. And obviously, Ty Rodgers is from Michigan, but he has connections to Ty Streets, right, who's the Mean Streets AU program director, former stud at every sport he ever played, including playing in the NFL. But Ching Coleman right away is able to get Iota Sumo, and then is able to get Adam Miller after that. And now to get Ty Rodgers and Merez Johnson in the same month, Derek. We were sitting there going, Tim Anderson, like, is he going to wait till maybe next spring, summer to make a big impact recruiting-wise? He said, don't count me out, guys. And he gets, you know, two top 100-level talents, probably top 60-level talents with both those guys. Pretty good month for Tim Anderson and Brad Underwood.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say that this one was like the Field of Dreams walk-off by Tim Anderson level of get in terms of, like, Ty Rodgers – again, beating out Tom Izzo, where this was one where Michigan State, and contrary to Luke Goody and even Podjemski, like we were pulling four-star level talents out of adjacent states, like Wisconsin didn't offer Pods, and you had Goody who wasn't offered by Indiana and Purdue. This one, Michigan State was pushing to the very, very end. So to be able to beat them out is a big feather in his cap. And a guy that said on our Zoom, you know, this summer when he was hired, just like, I know I'm coming in and I'm expected to recruit at a high level. And he said, I think it was like, I'm with it. We're going to get that done. And I mean, that's what he's doing. And I think that we talked about the impact of getting him Merez Johnson early because of his relationship with James Brown and just kind of making that imprint right away on an early class, a guy that has a lot of high upside. And then to add one more big piece next to Epps and Harris, and we know that those are really good gets in at the guard spots when there's been a need there, but to just add in one more top 100 guy and add that piece to the wing, I mean, that says a lot about Tim. And you know, that last spot on the staff was when you had the Allen Huss situation for Brad, and it's like, okay, how is Brad getting told no a bunch? Like, what's he going to do? What's that spot going to look like? And to fill it with Tim and have Tim come in right away and just really make an impact, make waves, is a big deal.
I know, you know, the assistants get a lot of credit, and they should, right? But Merez Johnson, his high school coach, Roshan Russell, gave a ton of credit to Brad Underwood and his involvement in that recruitment. It seems like Brad really, really wanted Ty Rogers here as well. But just to zoom out, Derek, I mean, this is a guy we thought X's and O's wise. Like I said, maybe Illinois found its John Beilein. And the one thing John Beilein did is he turned success on the court with guys he recruited and developed. And obviously, I would assume it was highly ranked, and Kofi Coburn was highly ranked, but he developed those guys, got the most out of them, and he's in the process of that with Coleman Hawkins and Andre Curbelo. He deserves a ton of credit. He deserves a ton of credit for building what he's building, which seems like such a sustainable model of having success in the Big Ten, because the Big Ten's loaded, right? I mean, Juwan Howard is recruiting at a ridiculously high level. Chris Holtman is recruiting extremely well right now. We know Matt Painter every year seems to have top five, top six classes, maybe not with the superstars, but he develops them well. So to have this, and we know Maryland always seems to have talent, so it seems like Brad Underwood's nudging out Maryland a little bit here, and really in this recruitment in Michigan State, because Michigan State got Max Christie and he's exciting, but it feels like Illinois starting to inch above that program, which is pretty unbelievable for where they were just 3 years ago to the day, Derek. I arrived in Maui and they went 0-3 and had that terrible season. It's amazing how far they've come and how much he's stacking this thing.
Yeah, and that's a great point. We do get caught up, and Brad would even say, you know, he gives a lot of credit to his assistants and allows them a lot of control in terms of developing the relationships, and that is a lot of what recruiting is about. But the head man is part of the, especially the closing pitch and relating with the family and the recruits, and for him to not only, you know, do what he's done and getting Io and Kofi, but then to reload when you lose Antigua and you lose Chin. And I was like, how are we going to get players? And you get Chester and Tim Anderson, at the very least, like building the program up to a status where you can have some next level talent getters come in and be able to do that. But like you said with Merez, like really related well with Underwood, and he was very active. And I think that we'll hear from Ty, who's been a very quiet guy throughout this recruitment, but I would have to imagine that just Brad Underwood's makeup and like what he values and his swagger, his toughness, like had to relate with Ty and how he plays. And it's crazy to think about where Illinois has risen from and now where they're at. And now not only in the place of, well, it's a flash of, you know, one seed and then you get Kofi back, so that's going to be another nice season. But what are you going to do from there? It's set up to be in that top mix in the league for a while now. So that's a huge credit to him and competing with some big-time programs and ones that can really, really recruit. So that says a lot about Brad and what he's been able to do. And, yeah, it's just keep on building this thing.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. And we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Okay, Derek, when they land one, the next question, of course, is who's next, right? I can't imagine like what the boards are like. I haven't checked them since then. But this is pretty much it for the fall, I would imagine. I mean, this is the last day of the signing period. But there should be some open scholarships at some point, right? Like right now, they have one available, and that's assuming Jacob Grandison and Austin Hutcherson don't come back, right? But we expect there could be some turnover in the offseason, as there usually is. But going into the spring, is the focus 2023, 2024, or what will they be looking at in the transfer market?
Yeah, I think that high school-wise, it will be very much focused on those future classes, 2023, 2024, seeing if you can push someone in 24 to play with Merez, or in 23, you got Jeremy Fears, you got Kylan Boswell, those guys, a lot of attention around them, and see if you can get one of those to pop early. I think that would be a big focus. And then in the transfer portal, you're going to look at the five, and you kind of got to be patient with that because Kofi's going to ultimately have to make his decision. And I mean, if he's here, it's tough to sell someone on coming in and playing behind him. Obviously, you got Omar Payne already as well. So that's kind of going to be one you got to be a little bit more patient on. Of course, you're going to do your homework. You're going to see what's in the portal or hear some buzz in terms of what might be available. And that's kind of your due diligence. I think that, like I mentioned before, I think at guard, you're going to at least, you know, kind of check the pulse of what that looks like. In terms of having someone with some experience, because while you do really like Ty and Luke Goody and some of those guys at the off guard spots, like losing DeMonte, if you were to lose Grandison, it'd be nice to have just a veteran, an older guy to kind of put in that mix. And as you mentioned, though, it will matter like some of the turnover after the season and some of the attrition that may or might not take place. So that's kind of where it is as far as the transfer mix. I think that at a five spot, I don't think you're going to find ultimately a high school guy to come in. And I know that was one that they looked at with Cam Corn and even Braden Huff, but probably looking transfer portal. But at this point, I think it's going to be full steam ahead with 23. See if you can get a Jeremy Fears to get pushed over the edge and commit early and try to, you know, get some of that in-state ties for 23, where there's a lot of talented players from the state of Illinois and they've hosted guys on campus this fall. If you can make some waves in that class and get that thing moving, I think that would be the next goal for this staff.
So I'm looking at this scholarship chart and just kind of like looking at 22-23, Derek, and assuming Grandison or Hutcherson could come back, right? But even if assuming they're gone and Kofi's gone, you'd have Omar Payne and Benjamin Bossman's Verdonk as your seniors, even though Payne, I think, would have another year of eligibility and so would Verdonk. Andre Curbelo, Coleman Hawkins, Brandon Lieb, as your juniors, Luke Goody, RJ Melendez, Brandon Podjemski, Sincere Harris, Jaden Heps, and Ty Rogers. There'd be a little bit of a reset there, right? But if you have Curbelo and Hawkins, and then you're adding Goody, Melendez, you know, taking steps forwards as sophomores, Omar Payne, and maybe one of Grandison or Hutcherson is back, and then you had three talented true freshmen, like that's a reset where you're still top half Big Ten, right? And you're possibly, if Jaden Heps is great right away, or an all freshman team guy, or if you know, Ty Rogers is a starter right away and just gives you some tough DeMonte Williams like things, like all of a sudden you're still maybe in contention towards the top of the Big Ten. Like that's a reset year that we see with Michigan now, or we see with Purdue, or we see with, you know, Michigan State. Even when they have down years, they're still a no doubt NCAA tournament team.
Yeah, it'd be nice to go into off season and say, you know, this could be a little bit of a down year. You're probably projected an 8 or 9 seed, and you're going to the tournament. Like, that's the expectation. And if things go right, obviously you'd be very talented. You'd be a younger squad in terms of some of the role players you'd be relying on. But if those clicked into place, if Epps plays to his level, if, you know, Rogers very talented, if Goody and, like you said, Melendez would take steps forward, and you would still have you know, obviously some star power in Curbelo, and I think that Hawkins can become a star. And if you are going to lose Kofi, obviously he'd be a star if he were to say, you know what, one more season, NIL has been pretty good to me, and I'll just double down on saying I want to be one of the greatest, not the greatest at Illinois. If he were to leave, of course, you could command, you would imagine, a high-level big man in the transfer portal. You hope that Omar Payne, by the end of the year, you're feeling pretty decent about him if he is going to be your five, but he's going to have to earn that. So, yeah, I think, like you, to your point, ultimately just kind of you'd still have depth, you'd still have a lot of talent, and it might be a year where you lose some big pieces, but you'd say, hey, you know, this team can still be very, very competitive, be a team that's going to make the tournament. And that's saying a lot when Illinois fans not that long ago were just dreaming for the upside of a season to beat, let's get to the tournament. So, yeah, again, says a lot about what Brad's done here.
Yeah, and there's got to be a lot of confidence at this point, Derek. And I know it's coming off Andre Curbelo's probably worst game of his career, right? But, like, it's his second game of the season, his second as a starter, which I think you've made that point. It's like his second career start in college basketball. The development that this staff has done with certain guys, whether it's Io, whether it's, I mean, even Andres Felice or Kofi Coburn, has been, they deserve a lot of faith in being able to develop these guys. I think that's why you have so much faith in a guy like Matt Painter, is, you know, he's going to get these guys and develop them really well. We're seeing that with Coleman Hawkins right now. So you just have faith that, like, towards the end of these seasons, they should get better. So even if there's growing pains like this year, I think this team could be dangerous at the end of the year. And I think next year when they have a bunch of freshmen, I think there could be, as most teams are having, Michigan's having right now, they're going to be really dangerous in March, but they got a bunch of young guys that are playing. I think this staff has shown that they get better as the season goes along. It's two straight years now we've seen them just take off, and actually three, right? I mean, when I was a freshman, they were awful early on, then played pretty well towards Big Ten play. So just another thing to keep in mind. The other thought I had about this, and Isaac Trotter texted me and said, these guys in this recruiting class give no Fs. So Jaden Epps, Sincere Harris, Ty Rogers, that's a Chester Frazier, Brad Underwood type of class.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you're going to lose Trent and DeMonte, guys that are big parts of that culture, big parts of the toughness, yeah, this class does just have those guys all over in terms of kind of that style, that mindset that, yeah, I mean, Illinois has developed into. We talked a lot about a Big Ten team that's not afraid to mix it up with anybody, not afraid to talk some trash, not afraid to be one of the grittier teams out there. And that's what you hope for, I think, when you take over a program, is that your roster ultimately looks like you and has a bunch of your guys on it. And that's what those guys are. I mean, not only are they really talented, they're all top 100 type of guys, but they are very, very much competitive, tough, gritty. Like, that is exciting in terms of kind of just the makeup of that team. You add in Coleman, who's going to still be there, and Curbelo. Like, that's a team that's going to ruffle some feathers around the league, but I mean,
I was about to say, this team's going to still piss some people off, Derek.
It will.
And I think Brad Underwood loves that. But what a get for Tim Anderson, Brad Underwood, and the Illini staff to get Ty Rogers. I'm going to catch up with Joe Hendrickson, so we'll have another pod focusing on Ty Rogers, a guy I know you and I really respect, and obviously has the pulse and knows these guys really well. So we'll have that coming up as well. But Derek Piper, get to work, man. Like, it's Illinois basketball keeping us busy, and some good news after a bad news Monday.
Yep, we will be busy at Illini Inquirer. Going to want to check out all of our coverage, and I've been told to keep some plans for you this afternoon, so hopefully we'll be hearing from Brad Underwood hopefully at some point to talk about this big get in Ty Rogers,
which means a signing will happen. So be tuned for that. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. If you don't already, give us a follow wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe to us, give us a rating, review. We appreciate that. And for all the latest, check out Illini Inquirer as well. Until then, everybody, take care, have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level.
old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.